This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Center for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
Hello, today I'm here with welcoming Dr. Sadie Jones. Hi, Sadie.
Hi, Alex.
How's it going, Sadie?
Yeah, going very well. Had a good trip up on the plane.
Cool. You're from Southampton, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I'm not from Southampton.
Sorry, I know Sadie from when I was at Southampton.
Yeah. But the Welsh in me wouldn't let me say that I was from Southampton.
Yeah, hopefully the listeners pick that up. You're originally from Wales.
But I work at the University of Southampton.
Working in Southampton.
And have for a long time.
Cool. So you've come up to give a seminar.
Yes.
Here at Manchester. Do you want to start by giving the listeners a little bit overview on your background and how you got into your current job as an astronomer?
Okay. So, well, I didn't actually start out as a kid wanting to be an astronomer. I wanted to be like an interior designer or something to do with computers and art, because I was very creative, but I had very good physics and maths teachers at A level and very terrible teachers of computer and art, and I realised that there was actually loads of job options for physics, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew that physics wouldn't close any doors, so I wasn't the type of astronomer who was looking for telescopes as a kid or anything like that. I just like enjoyed physics and maths. And then, yeah, so then I did a work experience in Cardiff University, and that actually came about because my dad was goes swimming regularly, and he met someone who he assumed wrongly was a farmer because of their West Country accent. And they turned out to be a professor of astrophysics in Cardiff University.
Awesome.
So they set me up on a work experience for, I just did a week, but I absolutely loved it. So from then on, I was pretty sure I wanted to do astronomy. I actually had Manchester as my first choice on my UCAS form. I really wanted to come here because I love the city, and the people and the department.
Awesome.
But at the last minute, I think because I'd had that work experience in Cardiff and it's close to my home in the valley, so I could still take my laundry home have nice Sunday dinners. At the last minute, I did change to go to Cardiff. So I did the MPhys in astrophysics there, and then a PhD place came through in Southampton.
Yeah.
And again, to be honest, I was going to stay in Cardiff, just stay in Wales.
Yeah.
But the funding fell through for the PhD that I was going to do. So, so I took on a PhD in Southampton, which was in something totally different to what my master's project was on, so it was a bit brave. And it was in radio astronomy, which is all the rage now, but at the time, there wasn't really anyone doing it. So I did struggle.
Yeah.
I didn't feel up and coming. So I did the dark art of radio astronomy for 4 years in Southampton.
Yeah.
And then luckily for me, because I wasn't potentially enjoying the research so much, like I didn't see my future in a postdoc or whatever, they bought the planetarium, which was just going to be used for open days. It's like an inflatable astrodome, we call it.
Yeah.
And they bought that and they kind of got some funding to create the job. I was actually doing astronomy, and I got that job. And that's what I've been doing since 2011.
Yeah. So that's roughly when I think I met you in 2013 when I started my PhD at Southampton University. And I remember going to lots of planetarium shows with you in schools and
we'd
take the dome out to various events, give people tours of the night sky.
Yeah, it's a great laugh. And like we used to do a lot more outreach, I guess, than we do now. But we used to have a lot more funding, I guess, that's
right.
The problem with everything.
Yeah.
But, like we used to go, like, well, as you know, because you were one of my team, we used to do like 40 to 50 school visits a year, and now it's probably more like 20.
Mm.
But we do lots of the local schools who are more, I guess, considered, they need more help with their physics kind of engagement and that kind of
stuff. So I guess, question is, what do you think, obviously we think it's important that we do this outreach in schools, but from your perspective of going to these schools a lot of the time, what feedback do you see them giving? Do they really see the impact of taking astronomy outreach to the schools?
I mean, obviously I believe in it because it's my job. If I didn't believe in it, I'd be in trouble. But yeah, I mean, I think especially with the planetarium, it's something so different to the environment they're used to in the classroom.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, we wouldn't necessarily have to show them astrophysics. Obviously everyone, well, most people like space and are interested by it. But just having the experience of going into this inflatable igloo, especially for the little ones, is just really cool. And I think a lot of the reason why I think it's so important is because all the people I take with me are people like yourself. Like, they are active scientists in who are doing research. So even though I don't do any research anymore myself, they're speaking to scientists and they're seeing that they're, you know, normal people. You can't see me doing air quotes, but
like,
so I think that role, I know there is some research which says maybe role models don't really work, and that that the kids just kind of think, you know, good for you, you have this great career, but what does that mean for my future? But I know from my own experiences, like, I've had, you know, female role models, quite a lot of them growing up, and like female teachers of physics and stuff. So I feel like that has had an influence on me, because if I hadn't had that, then, you know, I wouldn't have been able to see myself doing what I do now. So
yeah,
it's important, I think.
I think one of the things I remember from doing shows with you is a lot of the kids have literally never seen the night sky in
no.
If you're in a busy city, all you see is maybe the moon and like three or four stars.
Yeah.
But when you go to the planetarium and you see the actual night sky, a lot of these kids have literally never seen that. And it starts with just a picture. And then obviously from that picture there comes, like, the questions that we get asked. The kids are just,
I think the planetarium is, you know, if you can't go out and look at the night sky for whatever reason, I mean, hopefully afterwards they do actually go and have a look up, or at least try and go somewhere dark.
Yeah.
But I think you take for granted now we've got, like, iPads and everything. Like, you know, I've got this app on my iPad where I can see all these stars, so why would I bother looking up or looking with my eyes? But it is so different, and it is, like, really special. Like, again, I shouldn't probably admit to this, but I teach on the Tenerife field trip, and it probably wasn't until that trip, so after my PhD, where I actually looked through, you know, like a 10-inch telescope at Jupiter. And there is something so awesome about seeing that with your actual, like, eyeball.
Yeah.
And it does look like the pictures, and the Hubble pictures or whatever. Like, way better resolution, but there is something special about seeing it.
Yeah.
And, like, hopefully we encourage people to do that with the planetarium.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully they also learn the science and get excited about it.
Yeah.
But if they just go out and look up and, like, kind of start to question the universe, I think that's the main... That's the main thing that makes you want to be a scientist. Yep. Like, I think I annoyed my parents a lot as a kid, just being like, why does the moon look like it's following me? Like, it's like all those kind of weird questions. And when you realise your parents can't answer them anymore, it's like, it's a bit hard work. You've got to answer them.
Yeah.
We need you, children of tomorrow.
So you're here to give a seminar here today. Do you want to give the listeners a quick brief overview of what you're going to be talking about?
So I'm talking today about all the kind of work we've done working with different types of, like, public, different audiences, with a specific aim to engage in them with our supernova and dark energy research that we do at the University of Southampton. So we've got quite a few projects. I'm going to talk about four today, so hopefully I get to go through them all.
Cool.
But we did one in the Southampton Airport, in the departure lounge, where we were talking about supernova and exploding stars and death, which was cool because you don't normally get to talk about those things in airports.
In an airport.
And then the other project is the SETI Cipher Challenge, which is like an online forum where kids interact with scientists. And again, we did one of the years dedicated to supernova research. And then the other project is kind of a new project called Sotten Astro Art, which came about accidentally because we had all these photographic plates at the university that were a health and safety hazard in the filing cabinets where they were. They were going to be thrown in the bin, and they are like a relic of, you know, past astronomy before we had the internet type of thing. So it would have been a shame to throw them in. So we saved them and we've given them to artists, and they've made some really cool stuff. And we've now linked that project to our dark energy survey research.
Awesome. So what are you up to at the moment then, with your time?
Yeah, so at the moment I'm actually helping astronomers in the Solar Environment Physics Group. Yep. Hopefully I got that right. and they have a Zooniverse project, so a new citizen science project called Aurora Zoo. I think if you Google aurorazoo.org you'll find it. And it's we have images of the aurora from Svalbard in Norway, and we need the public to help us classify the different shapes of the aurora. So they have really cool names like chocolate sauce and other things. There's a tutorial online which will help you understand more about this. But basically, humans can do this kind of thing a lot better than computers. So we need your help with our analysing our data, and then that will help us understand the magnetic field strength, basically. So yeah, please help us.
Awesome. Cool. Well, we'll wrap it up there because you're literally about to go and give your seminar in 5 or 10 minutes' time. So thank you very much for joining us on Just Class City.
Thank you.
Cheers.